Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
I have known Pastor Mark and Miss Phyllis for my whole life. I was telling my church Sunday, I can't remember a day that I did not know them. Because my parents, like you said, carried me in when I was in a little baby carriage and slept through his services, snored through a couple, but praise God, I got delivered and saved, and hallelujah. No, we're so excited. You know, I was just thinking, today, you know, just how precious that connection is. I think about, you know, my parents getting saved and how they just changed our whole family tree. You know, my father was an alcoholic and, you know, and just different things, just a mess. And how just one decision to go to church, one decision to ask Jesus to come into their lives changed everything. You know, my sister and I, we're a harvest from that decision. You know, living for God, and that I think about, you know, my parents were going to a church, and then my mom, God gave her a dream to go help Pastor Mark start the church in Huntingburg at that time, at Oasis Church. And so my parents were obedient to that, and just from there, how it's just flourished, you know, how it's just progressed, that relationship and that connection. And it's important to us, and we're going to talk about honor tonight, but it's important to us that we honor those people, those connections, those things that God has placed in our lives. Because you never get to a place in your life by yourself. You never do. You know, God uses people, of course, the Word and the Holy Spirit, but we have to honor and keep in remembrance those things that how God has used to bring you to that place that you're at. You know, I tell our church, even, you know, whenever you see a victory or things that happen in your life, know that it's God. Because we can get into this pride that my faith did this or my faith did that. No, your faith come from God. Amen. Amen. God's the one that's moving and doing things in your life. Amen. So I appreciate this church and your pastors. They're just wonderful people in our lives. And, you know, growing up in my life, of course, my mom was my pastor from the age of 7. And, you know, I went to church all the time, and I got sermons on Sundays, Wednesdays, and every day at home. So I tell people, I'm like, I lived with the pastor. I got sermons every day, you know. But I'm thankful for that. But, you know, other than my mom, Pastor Mark and Miss Phyllis are the next people that put so much and part into my life. Growing up and traveling with them, and they had to put up with us, my sister and I, and all kinds of, you know, with younger children, but when my mom and them traveled together. So I'm thankful. Amen. We're thankful for that, for those impartations. Turn with me. We're going to start here. Let me find my starting point here. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 2 Kings. Right. Amen. 2 Kings. And I want to look at chapter 4 here. And when I was doing an offering message just recently at our church, I meant to go a different direction in reading this. But as I was ministering it, the Holy Spirit just brought out, just kind of captured my attention to something. And he's just been kind of just keep talking to me about this. And I want us to look at this. And I'm reminded, talking about honor tonight, I'm reminded of what Brother Hagin said. He said, for the miraculous to show up, honor has to be restored. Honor, and I'm paraphrasing, but honor has to be restored to the church so that we can experience those miracles, signs, and wonders. Amen. And I want to look at in 2 Kings chapter 4, starting out here. And it says, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. And so Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. But what I want to, we'll finish down in just a minute, but what I want to point out before we go any further is that what she opened the door for to receive instructions was honor. And I didn't see that until recently, that she said she brought her case before the prophet and said, my husband feared the Lord, honored. And that's what she shouted to him. She could have thought of all kinds of other things, but she says, look, you know that my husband honored God, that he did what was right, that he did the plan of God. And so what was she doing? She was using honor to put a demand on what she needed, on a miracle that she needed. And we see that that honor, that Elisha, that captured his attention. Because we know Elisha was a man of honor as well with Elijah. But Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? See, her bringing up that honor of her husband, it opened the door to receive what she needed, to receive that miracle. And so now he's asking her, what shall I do? Tell me, what do you have in the house? Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him, shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. So we see that honor, using that demand of honor, gave her an access, an open door to receive that miracle. But first she had to receive instruction, right? She had to place an honor on what she heard. Amen. And we have to understand what we hear from the word of God, from your pastors ministering week after week, what we hear from the Holy Spirit, we need to place an honor. And what that means, put a weight on it. It should mean something to me. It should mean something to me when God says something to me. What I tell our congregation, when God tells you something, everything else is second to that. When God starts dealing with you about something, everything else you put aside till you deal with that. When God puts his finger on something, the Holy Spirit starts talking to you, dealing with you, that shows honor. When we put a weight on it, when we put, you know what, I'm going to write this down, I'm going to make this my number one thing, is to listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying. And so she came in and she listened, because she put a weight on it, because she honored what he said. So she went and did what the prophet of God said. So she went and shut the door, and now it came to pass, verse 6, when the vessels were full, and she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go and sell the oil and pay your debt. You and your sons live on the rest. Now, I love this about her too. Because of her honor, she did what he said, and then she goes, okay, I need further direction. Because after that oil was filled, she could have went and did whatever she wanted with it. But no, she went back, because she honored the prophet, she honored the words of God. She went back and said, okay, I did that, what's next? Not assuming what the next step should be. Not filling in her own plan, but honoring God. God, what do you want? What should I do next? Amen. Whenever we were talking earlier with Pastor Mark, but you know, with our extension, we have our church, we added on, 1,000 square feet or so to our church. And there are some kids' classrooms and bathrooms and different things. But before we even got the I'm not a construction person, so you just follow along with me, you know. You've heard my mom preach several times, so you're familiar with my language, so you'd be good. But you, the 4x4s, where they put the wood up, the frame of it. Yes, am I right? But before that, we were just believing for the sidewalk to be finished out in the front. And I remember, you know, we had the money and we did the sign and different things. And so we needed to do the sidewalk. Well, concrete's not cheap. It's, you know, it's not the cheapest thing to do. And so I remember going to God, because up until that point, we have paid cash for everything, because that's what God had told us to do. And so I remember, I thought, you know what, I need to check in with God. You know, it's good whenever you're living for God, checking in with him. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Check in with him. Yeah. God, what do you want me to do about this? I've started to go this direction. Am I still on the right track? Am I still proceeding how you want me to go? Yeah. And so I decided I'm going to check in with God for two reasons. One, because I want to hear what he said. And two, I thought maybe he'll let us borrow something. Just being honest, you know, it was money that we did not have. Of course, you know, I go to God and he says, you're going to pay for it just like you paid for that. That, he named all these things that we had done by cash that he had brought the money in supernaturally. And I said, got it. And so I text my husband because he wasn't there that evening. It was a Wednesday night at church. And I said, all right, we're moving. Let's go on the sidewalk. Because the Holy Spirit told me, move to go. And so so he's like, okay. I think he was at special meetings or something. And so, but then later that night, a lady in our church gave us a check for the amount that we needed to finish that. Right. See, checking in with God, honoring what he says, not coming up with our own plan, amen, or filling in the blanks ourselves, amen, but getting the clear details, getting the mind of God on what we should do. But that's what she did. She went and asked him, and he said, go and sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. Genius plan. Amen, genius plan. But honor opened her up to that miracle in her lives. And think about this, her husband was not even alive. The honor that he lived out through his life made a blessing for the ones behind him, for the generation underneath him. Amen. It's never pointless or useless to serve God in any capacity, to live and do what's right. You don't know what blessing is on the other side of what, who it's going to affect, not even now, but in the future. Us living and doing what God has said to do. Amen. And I want you to understand this too, that obedience follows honor. You know, we'll look at a couple more scriptures, but obedience follows honor. I'm not going to listen and to obey something that I don't value. Amen? So it's important that we put a value on God's word and what God says. I want to look at John chapter 2. And what I've learned too is that, you know what? God's way keeps me out of a lot of trouble. It keeps me out of a lot of trouble. There's many times that I have done things my way or thought, this sounds like a good idea. And then I usually, you know what I have to do? Go back and to do it God's way. And I have to just go back and redirect my steps. There was a time that we were financially, it was several years ago, we were just financially, it was tight. I don't know if you've ever been there. Probably not, but it just, you know, it just seemed like there was never just enough at the end. So I had this great idea that I'll get a part-time job because I'm a registered nurse and you can make pretty good part-time PRN wages. I thought, great idea, I'll do that. And so I did it, didn't ask God about what to do about my situation. I just come up with a great plan myself. Did it for 5 years, 5 years. And after that, the fifth year, it was just getting really frustrating. I was working full-time. We were starting our church, and I got one up here in the front row, but most of our kids are in the back. And so raising, and it was just getting frustrating. It was too much. So I had learned by that time, I went to God, and I said, God, I would like to quit this. I want to know what your plan is, though. You know what God so lovingly said? He goes, I never told you to take that job. I said, oh, ouch. Ugh. So I've been here for 5 years for nothing. All right, you know. And my husband can tell you, during that 5 years, it didn't make a difference. It still didn't do anything. But whenever I quit that job, then my full-time job, I started seeing increases, raises, just supernaturally. $30,000 raise in about 2 or 3 years. What? Because my doing it my way was stifling God's way. Me trying to come up with my plan, the B plan, amen, was stifling God's blessing in my life. Amen. Obedience opens doors that no man can shut. Amen. Getting God's wisdom, God's voice on those situations. In John chapter 2, in verse 1, and it said, on the third day there was a wedding in the Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother said to Jesus, "They have no wine." She's a good mama. I love that. Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." And I love Mother Mary's response. She just ignored Jesus, just turned to him, went to the servants, and says, "Whatever he says to you, do it. Do it." You know why she could act like that? Because if you remember in Luke 1, when the angel appeared to her, he told her what Jesus was going to do. And she had raised him. She had seen the anointing, seen the wisdom on him. There was an honor there. And so in verse 6, now there were the 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. See, her honor of what was on Jesus caused opened that door up again for instruction, for what to do, for wisdom of this situation. But there was still an obedience that had to be played. They had to understand the weight of what he was saying. It doesn't make sense to take these big gallon water pots, dump them out, pour them back up, and all of a sudden we're going to have wine. Don't make sense. Amen? But they did it, and they said to them, "Draw some out now," or they filled up the water pot, they filled them up to the brim, and he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast," and they took it. And when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to them, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk and the inferior, you have kept the good wine until now." See, what I want to show you is obedience. That honor of what the anointing of what was on Jesus, someone had honor for that. And says, whatever he tells you to do, there's a weight to it. There's value. It's precious. And whatever he tells you to do, do it. And I want to tell you too, there's not an option B. There's not an option B, C, or D, and you get a pick. It's not like a test, multiple choice. Whatever he says to do, do it. Do it. You know, and we have the easy part. I just got to listen. I just got to put a value on his word and on his voice and take the time to listen to it. You know, there's distractions are the easiest way the enemy can get to us. You know, because the enemy doesn't come in this big, you know, tail and horns and whatever. No, what did he come? He comes in distractions. He comes in ways to get us to not focus, to not spend time, not value and honor the time and the fellowship with God. So if he can keep you busy, then we don't take time to hear. And if we don't have, or we're not hearing, we're not obeying. Because you have to hear something to obey something. Amen. If we're always putting things in front of our time with God, always putting things in front of our time to come and gather as an assembly with church, we have lost the honor. We have lost the value that God has in our lives. Amen. I don't know if we'll go. Well, we can go there. Let's go look at Mother Mary here. Go to Luke 10. And I say Mother Mary endearing because I have my mother-in-law who's Mary. And so we always call her Mother Mary. So I do want to point out while you're turning there, my flock family is all here. So my husband and my son in the front row, but in the back row, I have my father-in-law and my Sonny's grandma and my mother-in-law, and then our family, Dustin and Alicia, in from Texas. So we're excited that they're with us this week. And then of course my CLC cheer block over here. So So we're so thankful that they're with us tonight. But in Luke chapter 10. And verse 38, it says, "Now it happened as they went, he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. She's tattling. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen the part that which will not be taken away from her. What was Mary doing? There was a lot of things that Mary could have been doing, but she chose to honor that Jesus was there. She chose to honor to hear what Jesus had to say. Because I can't be the wife, I can't be the pastor, I can't be the mother, any of those things until I hear what Jesus has to say. Amen? We want to get some things in order in our lives, you're going to have to put him first. It put him first. Everything will be disorganized and chaotic in our lives until Jesus becomes first. Until his word becomes first. I've learned whenever he comes first, everything else just kind of falls in place. Understanding that seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's not the only thing, but that's the first thing. That's the one thing that's needed. Amen. Is honoring his voice and honoring what he says. You know, when we started pastoring 8 years ago, actually next 2 weeks, we'll celebrate our eighth year anniversary at our church in Ferdinand. And I remember when we first started pastoring, I wasn't excited, to say the least. Was not excited, just being honest. Amen. And I knew God had called us to do that, but I had, like I said earlier, I had been with my family in church since I was seven, well, all our whole lives, but my mom started pastoring when I was seven, and I had just had it in my head that, and she loves this, but that when she died, I would take over the church. So she loves that part of my story. She's like, I told her, I was like, I was going to wait till you're about 90, and then you know, go home or whatever, and then I'll be, you know, 60, and then I'll take over, you know. That's just how I thought I had it in my head, my plan, what was going to be, that I was going to stay there and help her until she went home and or Jesus came back, whichever came first. And I was okay with that. I wasn't looking to start and being the number one person. I liked being the number two or three or four. And so when we started pastoring, it stretched me. It stretched me in my thinking. It stretched me every situation. And I remember one day after a couple months I started pastoring, I was going home, leaving church. I was driving by myself. And the Holy Spirit says, you better get in joy about this. And I said, he goes, because if you don't get in joy, then I can't use you. See, when we honor God, it's a joy to do what he says to do. It should be a pleasure. It should be a joy to whatever he has told us to do, called us to do. And you know what? I got in joy real quick. It was just an attitude change. It was just a shift. And I had to make that change because what I was doing, I was really in disobedience. Because it says if you're willing and obedient. I was being obedient, but I was not willing. So honor was not flowing in my life because, God, I'm doing it. I think of it like this. If you have children, you know, I'll tell my boys, go clean your room or go do something. They will stomp off, you know, and all the attitude, you know, all the sounds, and they'll still get in trouble. Yes, they were going to their room, but the attitude of how they took it to their room, it cost them a spanking. Because I don't like how you're acting going to your room. I said, I let you live here for free. All that stuff in your room, I bought you. You better be happy. It should be joyful that you get to go clean it. Amen. That you got something to clean, you know. Hallelujah. And so God wants our attitudes to be joyful. That nothing he asks us is hard. Amen. But being joyful with what he has for us. And honoring that, I want just to turn to, just go over here to Luke 6 real quick. Hopefully encouraging tonight. This is simple, but I think we just have to sometimes just make some adjustments on the inside. You know, we can get in the routine of coming to church, but lose the honor of church. We can get in a natural habit, but lose the honor of the local church in our lives, its place that it should be. We can get in the habit of seeing the same person every Sunday and Wednesday, our pastors, and still we can get in that habit again and lose that honor for them, that that's God speaking to me through them and honoring what they say, because there should be a weight in it whenever your pastors are preaching each week. Because I know your pastors, I know that he seeks God about what he's going to minister. He's not pulling something out of a magazine or a set schedule or, you know, a set list or whatever they call them. I don't know. But he's getting before God to what should be ministered for that specific service. Amen. And bringing the honor and weight to that in our lives, the value of that. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. This is one of my favorite scriptures. And this is Jesus talking. He says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" He's pretty blunt right there. You know, when he's saying Lord, he's talking about a place of authority. You know, when someone's Lord over you, there is a place of authority that they have over you. So he's saying, you're calling me Lord, but you don't do what I say. You're saying that I'm over you, that you're under my authority, but you're not doing what I say. He says, "Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded or well built on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Same storm, two different people. One honored and valued the word. He heard what the Spirit of God was saying, heard what the word of God said, and he put it into action in his life. Why? Because he honored it. Because it was important to him what God was saying. He valued. The other situation, same storm, it destroyed their foundation. Broke that home. Why? Because it became a natural habit to them. Heard the words, but just walked back out and didn't put a weight on it. Didn't put a value on what they heard. Not realizing that you don't, this is the things that you hear here, you don't hear other places. You don't go to the mall and hear how to live your life, how to walk in victory. I don't hear it at Walmart. You know what Walmart wants? They want your money. Amen. They want you to pay for your groceries. Amen. Other places. So putting a value on what you hear. Amen. Putting a value on the word of God. Same situation, different outcomes, because one honored God, one honored the word, one didn't. But he heard and he obeyed. He heard because obedience follows honor. When I hear God speak, it matters to me. I put a value on that. You know, something that I do just for me personally is whenever God, when I'm in a service, I'll take notes of that service, but a lot of times the Holy Spirit will start showing me things. You know, they're preaching and I'm like, that's for me. That's it. And I write those things down because I want God to know that it's so important. I don't want to forget. I don't want to forget what you said to me, what you're bringing out, what you're trying to give attention to. Amen. Putting a value on what he says to us. Amen. A couple things I want to just to mention here. I know we're getting close to time, and is to help us is not to change what we believe or change our doctrine for someone who doesn't honor the word like you do. Amen. You'll be in situations where people that maybe are important to you or in your life, but if I'm not going to change what I believe, I'm not going to change and dishonor the word to meet someone else. Amen. We don't want to change our doctrine for someone who doesn't love the word like you do. Amen. If we don't honor and value his voice, we miss the leading. We miss the instructions and the wisdom. Like I said earlier, check in with him. Amen. Check in with him. God, am I still doing what you wanted me to do? Am I doing this right? Have I added something that I shouldn't have added? Have I neglected something that I need to pick back up? Have I put something on the shelf? Amen. Because sometimes we can go along the path, God's plan, and then we start to see, oh, that looks kind of good, and we'll start adding that on, or start doing those things, or start adding things, and before you know it, we have our plate is full, and we're so busy that we have neglected that one thing. That one thing. Amen? We honor God by obeying his word and what the Spirit is dealing with us about. I know I've said that before, but I just want to emphasize that, is that whenever we read the word and God shows us, illuminates something in us, don't, you know, we need to watch that we just say, oh, well, that was really good revelation, and then just move on. You know, when you're reading your Bible, if there's something that just jumps out of that page, stay there. Stay there. Keep reading that. Keep meditating on that. Because there's something there that the Holy Spirit is trying to get across to us, and there's sometimes I'll spend weeks on the same verse, just rolling it over, meditating on it, because I know that there's something in there that the Holy Spirit's wanting to get across to me. And I don't want to let it go until he says. Amen? Whenever, I'm telling on myself a lot tonight. There was another time that the Holy Spirit had laid on my heart to listen to this certain CD series. And so I did it. I put it in there and listened for about a week or two, and I listened to it over and over for about a week or two. And then I thought, okay, well, I'm going to listen to something else. And I put it down. A couple months later, I go into a season, and that CD had my answer. But the Holy Spirit, and after we went through that season, the Holy Spirit says that season was harder than it should have been because you put down what I said. He said, you went through some things that you wouldn't have had to went through, but you got bored. Amen. I know, again, you've never been there, just me. So don't do what I do. But, you know, I listened to it for a week or two, and I think, okay, you know, that was good. It was a good message, but the Holy Spirit didn't tell me to move on. He didn't tell me to do something different. I didn't have that witness where I had received what I needed to get. So there was things that I had to go through, not because God had ordained it, but it was because of my lack of obedience, full obedience. Amen. Honoring what he said. Amen. So honoring God, honor what he is dealing with you about. And I tell people too, you know, if you're not hearing direction from God, go to the last thing he said. Go back to the last thing he said, because you probably didn't get it all then. There's probably something that you need to keep doing. If you haven't received further instruction, go back to what he said. What's the last thing he told you? Amen? Let's end with Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter, let's go to 28. You know, when I was about 17 or 18, the Holy Spirit had started dealing with me about ministering, about preaching, because, you know, and they can probably witness to that, I was a very quiet person. Very quiet growing up, pretty reserved, you know, not really, just quiet. You know, I had my mom, who was not so quiet, and my sister, who's not so quiet, so me and my dad were the quiet ones. Of the family. We're a little more not as talkers. My father-in-law, though, does not believe that. When he told me one time, he said, you were quiet? And I said, yeah, that was a long time ago, though. I've came a long way, so I'm not as quiet anymore. But I remember when I was about 17 or 18, the Holy Spirit started dealing with me about ministering. And I didn't tell anybody because I did not like to be in front of people. You know, whenever I would do worship and praise when I was younger, I would stand behind my sister. She played the keyboard or the piano, and I would stand behind her and sing. I didn't even want to, like, there was just a voice coming from randomly, you know, from the stage somewhere. you know, that's just how terrified I was, you know, at that time in my life, just of being in front of people. And so when God is starting to tell me that I'm going to minister, I thought, I think you got the wrong person. And so, but God said, I want you to start preparing like you are going to be preaching every week. Start preparing like you're ministering on Sunday. So I said, okay. So that went for about three or four years. And then finally one service, my mom could not, she, you know, was the pastor, and she could not preach that service. It was kind of a last minute thing that had come up. And so my dad couldn't do it. He was at work. My sister, I don't know where she was at, but she couldn't do it. So I was left. And so my mom's like, you're it. I was her last resort. And so I said, okay. But God had been preparing me, hearing his voice, doing what he said. And so I ministered that night. And then afterwards, mom pulled me to the side and she started talking to me about the anointing that was on my life and gave me some help and instruction and different things for that to progress. But then, you know, about a year or two goes by and I went to nursing school at that time and was starting to get out, and I was excited about being a nurse, and I was thinking I was going to get this certification, I was going to do this and all these things. And I remember driving to work thinking about that one day. And the Holy Spirit again caught my attention. He says, what are you doing about what I've called you to do? I thought, that's right. I had gotten my focus, again, wasn't wrong things, but I had gotten my focus distracted on the side trail. Amen. So I had to pull that back in and say, no, I'm going to honor, put God first, put his plan first. And in Deuteronomy chapter 28, it says, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And the blessing shall come upon you and overtake you because you obeyed the voice of the Lord your God. Amen. He can set you high above every circumstance. It says above all. Amen. But the condition, the key is that we honor his voice. Honor his voice and obey it. Do what he says to do. Put a value, put a place. You know, Philippians says that we need to learn what is vital. Learning what is vital. You know, as a nurse, vital signs, you have 5 vital signs. Those tell me if you're living or dying. You know, all of those have to be working to be alive. They're vital. It tells you about your vital organs. Same thing, the word of God, it's vital. We have to, as believers, we have to learn what is vital. What, you know what Jesus said? He says, the plan of God is what sustains me. In John chapter 4, doing God's plan is what sustained him. Amen. Putting an honor on God's plan. And I love this, that if obey his voice and carefully obey his commandments, he will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Amen. You don't have to climb there. He sets you there. Think about that. You're not climbing up there. You're not climbing up that mountain. You're not having to go through all those hills and valleys. No. When we hear his voice and put an honor and a value on it and do that, he places us. He sets us there. Amen. He places us there. My honor for his voice puts me in places I can't get on my own. There's some things that you can't get on your own. You're going to have to hear the voice of God. You're going to have to put your faith in his word. You know, I think of, I'll share this and I'll end, but my husband, he, I don't know if he shared this here before or not, but he had a skiing accident 15 years ago, 2010. And, you know, and his testimony, I'm paraphrasing it. You know, he grew up in church, then got out of church for a couple years, and then came back to church in, I think, 2004, you said, right? Was his first service back. And then from 2004 until that accident, he was in church serving, doing everything, you know, everything that the church had to offer, he was helping. He said even Brother Sean, who was over there, Ministry of Helps, came up to him and was like, you signed up for like 6 things. Normally people do 2. You sure you want to do 6 things? And he's like, sure. He was trying to stay out of the things that he got delivered from, you know, so keep myself busy in the house of God so I don't go back to things. And so, but, and putting the word in it, and he said that after he started coming back that he would went to the Bible school through his church and different things, and that he would start to study the Bible at home and meditate and listen to CDs over and over, just putting the word in him. Then in 2010, when he had this skiing accident, he was, they gave him a 50-50 chance to live. Broke several, over 40-some bones and face, all the bones in his face, but did not, his teeth was great. That was for me. I tell everybody, Jesus saved his teeth for me, because we always made my sister laugh about it. But broke his hip and lungs and punctured lungs, spleen, hip, all the things, just completely beat up. 50-50 chance to live. They have him in a drug-induced coma. He's on a ventilator. He can't speak for himself. But you know what was working for him while he is in a drug-induced coma? His spirit. His spirit, man. Amen. All that word that he had honored and valued and put in him in those all those years, and especially those last 6 years, all of that was working. When he couldn't physically speak it, that spirit man rose up and sustained him on his bed of sickness. Because it was working for him. It was working for him. You know, it might have been a different situation if there was someone on that bed of sickness that had not valued that word, had not put it in, had not got a strong foundation in them. It matters. It was a life or death situation for him. What was in him when that situation happened? It mattered. Was there other people praying and believing? Absolutely. But it mattered what was in him. It mattered what the word was working in him. And then whenever they finally woke him up out of that coma, the first thing he said was, "You can't keep a covenant man down." Right. First thing he said. And that didn't come out of his mind. That came out of his spirit. Because he wasn't even fully awake, I don't know if he even remembers half of that. But that just came out of his spirit. So it matters that we put a value on the word of God. Because either we're going to have a situation, or we're going to face or know someone that has a situation. And that word is going to need to work in that situation. Amen. So it matters that we value what the word of God says and what the spirit of God says. Amen. It matters. It matters. Amen. So my honor for his voice puts me in places and takes me through things that I can't get on my own. Amen. And in Deuteronomy 30, I'll just read it for time's sake. You don't have to turn there. But in verse 19, he tells them, he goes, "I call heaven and earth as witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what the word of God is. Amen. Amen. It's your lifeline. It's your rock. It's your foundation. It's what you hold on to every time thing that you face. It's not something that I just pick up on Sundays. It's something every day, living, abiding in that word of God, letting it flowing in me, let it flowing in my mind, let it flowing in my body, flowing out my spirit. Amen. That's where I live every day. Amen. That's what we do when we honor the word of God. It's not just an up and down road with God. It's a constant. It's a constant up. Amen. Faith is not for just the bad places in your life. Faith is every day. Faith in his word is every day. Amen. And I encourage you, again, honor his word. Put a value on his word. Amen. The enemy will get you deceived whenever, especially when things are going good in your life. He can get you trying to get lax off the word. Well, you got money, your kids are good, you got a nice house and things are going just smooth. That's not the time that we back off the word of God. That's not the time that we back off the word of God. No, you keep pressing. You keep pressing. You keep standing. Amen. My kids play sports, and they don't wait just till game day to learn how to play baseball. Think about that. If they're in the middle of the game and their coach is going out there teaching them how to throw a baseball, that guy's going to run around all those bases and score on them every time. No, that's what practices are for. That's when those times that you say, "I don't have a lot going on," that's when you press. That's when you get into the word of God. Amen. You don't wait till you're on the emergency room to start putting a value on the Word of God. Because during those times, what you have put in you is coming out. That's not a time to put in. That's a time to let flow out. Amen. But we put a value on the Word of God. Amen. Won't you stand with me tonight? I hope you receive something and just encourage you. I know this church, you guys are taught the Word. Good. Real good. I watch you sometimes. Watch you on live stream. Amen. And I know you're taught good, but I just want to come here tonight just to encourage us to, if there's something out of order, to get the order back. To put that one thing first. Amen. Put His Word and His honor first. Amen. Let's just lift our hands. Father, we worship You tonight, Father. We're so thankful for what You have, what Your Word says, what Your Word does. We thank You, Father, that Your Word works every time. Every time, Father, that there's not anything that we face that Your Word does not have an answer for it, Father. We thank You and we praise You, Father, for it. Hallelujah. We thank You, Father. Hallelujah. We thank You. We praise You. We worship You, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank You, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. That we're obedient, we're open to hear Your voice, Father. That there's no area in our life that's closed off to You. That we're open to hear any correction, any changes that we need to make, Father. That we're open to what You have for us. Hallelujah. We thank You, Father, for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank You, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. And I want to say this just by the Spirit of God. There's some here that you may just feel, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't know if I'm in the plan, out of the plan, around the plan, behind the plan. You know what I mean? Sometimes, and I want to tell you this, that God is not withholding anything from you. God is not withholding anything from you. It is, and listen, the enemy will try to tell you that it's hard to hear God's voice. It's not. It's not hard. What I instruct you, what I would encourage you to do is whenever your pastor's preaching every Sunday, that's God speaking to you. Amen. Write those things down. That's God talking to you. And as you get more familiar and in listening to His voice, your pastor's voice and hearing the Word, you'll start to hear the Holy Spirit's voice. Because if we need to first become skillful in hearing our pastor's voice, hearing God through our pastor. And as we become skillful through that, then the Holy Spirit will start to enlighten us about other things. He'll start to give us more specific things and bringing direction and bringing clarity to us about those things. Because God is not the author of confusion. He's not confusing. He's not complex. He's not complicated. Amen. He's a good God and He wants the best for you and for your life. And what I've found too is as I just put God first and keep doing what God tells me to do or keep doing what His Word says, He starts giving me more instruction. He'll start giving me more wisdom or more revelation if I just walk in what I know now. Just walk and do what I know to do. And as I keep doing that, then He keeps adding to it. He keeps taking me further into Him. Amen? So hopefully that encouraged you tonight. Amen? Because God has a great plan for all of us. It looks different for everybody, but it's still a great plan. Amen?
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.